Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Mark from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent. Thank you.
A stripped-down rock and roll flamethrower, the Gibson Les Paul BFG is the most powerful Les Paul Gibson has ever made. Blasted back to the bare essentials, the BFG is the Les Paul for guitarists who want it loud, raw, and wild. Two volumes in one tone knob control the sonic spectrum put out by a high-power burst bucker, three humbucker in the bridge, and a screaming cymbal coil P90 in the neck. An innovative powerhouse, the Gibson Les Paul BFG has no binding, no figure top, no finishing touches. This gives the BFG a distinctive look that is both modern and vintage while allowing for a price that makes pure Les Paul performance available to all players. The result is a perfect storm of eye-catching style, incredible tone, and unbeatable playability, all at a great price. Check it out at Gibson.com/BFG.
Rock over London,
Zurich,
Auckland,
Dublin,
Dallas,
Milwaukee,
Los Angeles,
Sydney,
Indianapolis,
Tokyo,
Seattle,
Paris,
Budapest,
Berlin,
New York. Ladies and gentlemen, two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be, John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey, it's John Astronomy coming to you from Times Square in New York City, right underneath the Marriott Marquis hotel roof.
That's right. It is raining here in New York City. Boy, I've had a crazy week, as you have. We interviewed John from Lamb of God, which was a lot of fun, backstage at Roseland. We're doing all sorts of stuff. I know you were hooking some stuff up, had a bunch of meetings. I had a bunch of meetings. I did interviews with almost at least one cast member from every Sci-Fi Channel show.
That's amazing. It was a big party.
Yeah, that's correct. It was a big party where a lot of announcements were made. Battlestar Galactica had already been greenlit for a fourth season, but they had originally only greenlit, I think, 13 episodes, and now it's been pushed to 22. So look forward to that. If you guys caught Battlestar Galactica last night, Sunday night, you now know four more Cylons. So how about that? Pretty crazy stuff. Who will the last Cylon be? Well, I don't even know that. Not yet. But I did have a top secret meeting on where season four will go, and got a couple plot points laid out for me. So it was kind of cool. But back to the metal. Lamb of God, you don't get much more metal than that.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a blast interviewing John. He's such a cool guy. We were hanging out backstage. I do feel bad that we kind of knocked two girls out of his dressing room, but I'm kidding. But it was very cool. Plus, we had the guys from Fangoria magazine shooting this for us, which was very, very cool.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully we'll see that at some point. But in the meantime, you can hear it here on Talking Metal Podcast today. Let's get into some music, come back, talk a little more. Is that cool? Ashes of the Wake. What a great record that was. It came out a few years back, and I freaking love this record. This is actually the record that got me into Lamb of God. We're going to sample right now a song called Laid to Rest.
Was Laid to Rest from Lamb of God's Ashes of the Wake record. What a great tune. What a great band. Now, Mark, as you were saying, we did have a pretty crazy week this week, and it's still going strong. I hooked up with Peter Criss, the great legendary drummer from Kiss, on Wednesday, and we were hanging out over at the Gibson Guitar Showroom. Me, Peter, his wife, one of his engineers, and the great guitar player, Mike Angel McLaughlin. And we were just checking out a bunch of great guitars, hanging out, talking about, you know, some cool stuff. And we're going to put a picture up on the Talking Metal website in the show notes of me hanging out with Peter. So that was pretty cool. And then I'm headed down to Baltimore, Maryland tomorrow to hook up with Black Label Society. So that's going to be a great weekend. And then we've got, like, tons of stuff lined up for next week.
We certainly do, yeah. I mean, like I said, things have been crazy with me. I hooked up with Ian Christie, did an interview with him. Then right after that, I walked down the street and met up with Scott Ian, who was hanging out at Manny's, where he was demonstrating some Randall amps. So it was good to say hello to him and gossip some Battlestar news with him. And actually, I got a picture with Scott, which we will post in today's show notes. So go to talkingmetal.com, check that out. While you're there, use the link to jump over to Talking Metal forums. Send us an email. If you've never sent us an email, we would love to hear from you. talkingmetal@yahoo.com is the email address. And Christopher Ahmet is back in The Great Arch Enemy. I know bunch of people on the message boards, the Talking Metal forum, talking about that. Pretty exciting news to have the Ahmet brothers back together.
Yeah, it's really great to get Christopher back to the band. But Frederick was amazing, too, and was a great temporary guitar player for the band.
Yeah, I think he was with them like 18 months, I was reading. And he also plays on... Frederick, of course, we're talking about now, plays on Jeff Scott Soto's last release, Talisman, that we've featured here on Talking Metal. A great, great player, and we wish him the best of luck. But it is great to see the brothers back together. And there's also a topic on the forum. People are trying to figure out if who's hotter, Christina from Lacuna Coil or Angela from Arch Enemy. What do you think?
I have to say they're both hot. They have different styles. So, you know, sometimes you're into one thing and sometimes you're into other thing. It's like a Gene Simmons would say, you know, sometimes I, you know, like steak, but sometimes I like cheesecake. They're both great.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, both two good-looking girls, and I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Angela. I gotta tell you, but she's kind of got a unique look. You know, maybe not everybody's into her, but you know, I definitely dig her. And Christina from Lacuna Coil is just a complete sweetheart. And those pictures that we have of her are actually our you, me, and her are actually our MySpace pictures on myspace.com/talkingmetal. What do you call that? Like your profile picture?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's called, the profile picture.
Very good. So I say we get into a little more Lamb of God and then get into the interview. Why don't we listen to something off the Sacrament record? What a great record.
Yeah, absolutely. I love all the songs on the record. And Redneck, you know, the first single, everybody, I'm sure, has heard that a zillion times. And it is just an awesome song. It's really my favorite one on the record.
Let's start it off right now with Requiem, a great, great track off Sacrament. And we'll end the show with a little sample from Redneck. And then, of course, sandwiched in between these songs, John Campbell. Big shout out to him. He was great. We had a lot of fun chatting with him.
Yeah, and we want to thank Brian and Maria and Jensen and everybody at Adrenaline PR for hooking this up for us.
As well as Brian, the other Brian, who is Lamb of God's tour manager. He was really, really helpful with everything. So check it out, Lamb of God.
It's John from Talking Metal. I'm backstage at Roseland Ballroom in New York City with Mark Striegel and John Campbell from Lamb of God.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. So you guys just finished up a massive sold-out tour of Europe, Australia, Japan. Now you guys are headlining a tour in the U.S. How's it going so far?
It's going great. We're actually about a month into it. And this has actually been the sold out tour. That we before this we were in Japan and Australia, and that's kind of our first time there. We're going back because it went so well, and hopefully that will continue to be sold out. But this tour has been going great. We still got about 2 more weeks into it, and by the time I get home, I think probably 3 out of 40 shows aren't going to be sold out. Wow. So that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
And you guys have gotten through the area here a lot in the last, I'd say, 2 years. I know we had Randy on the podcast when you were down in Jersey maybe a year ago, and we had Mark at the Gigantor Festival, and now we have you here in New York City at Roseland. When do you stop? It's like you have no time off.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you got an album in there, too, an amazing album.
Well, we took time off to do the record after Sounds of the Underground, but time off the road doesn't necessarily mean time off from working. We're doing 5 days a week. So, no, there's not a lot of time off in rock and roll. It's kind of the thing where, you know, we're successful now. Who knows for how long, so we're making the most of it and trying to stay as busy as possible.
Very cool. Now, Sacrament was Album of the Year 2006, Revolver. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Revolver's been a great supporter of ours for a while now.
Cool. Now, you guys recorded this in a bunch of interesting places. The drums were done in Long Island City, and I was wondering, were you there playing bass along?
Oh, no. Before we even got to that point, we were in our practice space on pre-production, where we did some low-budget recording to get scratch tracks and get tempo maps built for Chris to then take that up to the studio in Long Island and sit down and beat out the drums. And then we came back down to Richmond, did guitars and bass and some vocals, and then the vocals were finished in Hoboken.
Right. Now, the producer is named Machine, and
Correct.
He's the guy in Hoboken, right?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's a guy that he did Ashes of the Wake with us also, and we really liked how he worked and what we got done with him, so we felt like we could continue that relationship and build and do better things this time around.
I noticed that Redneck was mastered in a different place, and I was wondering why that was.
I think that was a decision where they wanted a single to push the record, and so that needed to get done before the rest of the record, so they just kind of pushed that one track forward a little bit.
Now, I know when I saw you guys down in Jersey on Gigantor, Machine came out on stage with you and was rocking out with you guys. I know Sacrament isn't really that old yet, but are you guys looking ahead to another record at this point, and would you consider working with him again?
Sure, we would consider working with him again. At this point, we're looking to be on the road through the end of the year. So as far as doing another record, that'll have to wait until the touring's done. It's an either-or thing for us. We're either touring or writing a record.
Gotcha. Now, John mentioned Revolver recognizing the album. The Grammys also recognized the record. You guys were nominated, and did you head out to the awards? I watched, and of course, the heavy metal one wasn't broadcast.
I think there's 115, 120 categories, like 11 of which are televised. The rest happened in another room somewhere else where everybody's just standing around more or less waiting for them to get to their category. I did go. It was a great opportunity to take my wife out to California and have a good, glamorous Hollywood weekend. It was interesting because it's almost like going to a petting zoo. You see all these celebrities out, and you can actually go up and touch them and say, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
I got to meet Weird Al Yankovic and Dave Grohl.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Then I got wasted and had to get out of there.
Well, at least you didn't lose to Jethro Tull like Mattel.
Exactly. I mean, we weren't going to win it from the get-go, and to lose the Slayer. That's winning in my book. So
now you guys also did something which is pretty wild. You made a national TV appearance on Conan in the building where Mark actually works.
All right, yeah, that was our first time on national television performing, and it was strange at first, but it was really cool. I'd love to do that again. It was very nice of them to give us the opportunity to get in there and play in their studio.
And it seemed like there was a lot of your fans in the audience. Did or no?
No. No. I think there's about 200 people that sit in that audience, and they're all sitting, and they're all kind of – they're even further away than when you play an arena. We had some friends in there that were very vocal.
Right. I could hear the response sounded great. You guys have – I mean, you met Chris and was it Mark back in college? Where were you?
1990. We graduated high school in 1990. The three of us are all the same age. And we went to Virginia Commonwealth University and somehow ended up on the same floor of the dorms and got to know each other in 1990. That led to 4 years later starting Burn the Priest, which led into Lamb of God.
Very cool. Now, I had a few questions about gear. I'm a gear freak, and I should be banned from 48th Street in Manhattan because if I buy one more guitar, my family is going to disown me. Sure. So anyway, is your main gear Jackson? Because I know you also use Peavey and sometimes Guild.
I did use Peavey before, and then I moved on to Jackson, and we're working on a signature series now, which just reminds me I need to be sending something FedEx today that I totally blanked on until you just asked me. I'm playing Jackson basses. We've worked out a custom guitar that they're going to go market. It's all Jackson as far as guitars.
Very cool. And Mesa Boogie amps?
I'm using Mesa Boogie 400-plus heads and Road Ready 810 cabs.
How many 810s do you bring on tour with you?
There's eight on stage.
Wow.
When we have everything, but I think tonight, I looked at the stage and I can't remember. There's at least four up there, and sometimes there's eight.
I know that sometimes you did stuff with three strings only, right?
that's a long time ago. You're talking about my Guild Pilot that was back in the van days. It was the only guitar I had, only guitar I could afford. And one day the tuning peg broke on the lowest string, and I couldn't afford another tuning peg, so I just took the one from the last string and switched it out for that one and left a hole on the little string that I wasn't using anyway. So
very cool.
So the word is this summer, still no break for you guys, out on the road with Ozfest. Yeah. Main stage.
Yeah, it's we're doing direct support for Ozzy is what I've been told, and that's it's pretty amazing, man. It's cool that we continue to progress, and every year something happens that you never would have expected and is really cool, and this year it seems to be direct support for Ozzy on Ozfest.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. And what's the deal? How can Ozfest be free? I don't understand this.
I don't either, man. You're talking to the bass player. Me and Numbers don't really get along too well. They've somebody with a calculator somewhere did some figuring and some phone calls, and somehow it works.
Very good. So we have Fangoria TV here with us today shooting. So let's talk about movies. Do you watch many DVDs when you're on the road?
No, not a whole lot. And even at home, normally when I watch a movie, it's on the couch with my wife, and I end up falling asleep.
What's your favorite horror movie?
The Hellraiser series, absolutely. Yeah, as a little kid, those just totally grabbed me, scared the crap out of me. And I've gone back and watched some of the – I've watched them recently, within the past few years. And the first one's still great, but Lord, the third one just kind of got out there. I didn't catch it when I was a kid. I thought it was awesome, but the Hellraiser series were definitely. I was a big fan of that as a kid.
It's funny how you go back and watch stuff that you remember being so scary, or even in music, so good, and you're like, I like.
Or even on TV, The Dukes of Hazzard. That show sucks, man.
I actually had a picture of me in front of the General Lee car.
No shit.
Yeah, it was like, they probably had 500 cars, but
probably
they brought one to the local mall. And
sweet.
It's what's amazing though is that they had to go out and find that particular year of Dodge Charger. Like you said, there was probably not many of them around, and they probably had about 10 or 15 ones that they used, and they wrecked probably a couple of them per show.
I'm sure they had a couple that held together with duct tape just for the jumps.
Absolutely.
And everybody's getting along pretty well on this tour. There's that famous scene off your DVD where...
I don't know what you're talking about. We're getting along well enough. Nobody's gotten punched yet.
That's great. I wanted to extend an invitation to you. If you're ever in the western Pennsylvania area, my uncle has one of the greatest lakes, and he will personally stock it for Lamb of God if you want to come fishing.
Yeah, well, shit, start stocking it now. It takes a while for that stuff to take. That'd be nice to think that we'd have time off for that kind of stuff, but generally speaking, if I got time off for fishing, it's because I'm at home and rolling out to the cow ponds that we have out our way. But if I can make it out there, believe me, I will.
Absolutely.
Cool, great. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Talking Metal Podcast and on Fangoria TV. We appreciate it. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Right on. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, John. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.